Good morning, everyone. Today's reading is taken from Luke chapter 4, verses 1 to 13. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the desert, where 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and at the end of them, he was hungry. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, man does not live on bread alone." The devil led him up to a high place and showed him in an instant all of the kingdoms of the world. And he said to him, "I will give you all their authority and splendor, for it has been given to me, and I can give it to anyone I want to. So if you worship me, it will be yours." Jesus answered, "It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." The devil led him to Jerusalem and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down from him, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you carefully. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." Jesus answered, "It says, do not put the Lord your God to the test." When the devil had finished all the tempting, he left him until an opportune time. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ.
Thank you, Navjot.
Temptation and endurance. So notice what is said in the first verse that we heard this morning. Jesus, it said in verse 4, Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, left the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, left the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. So he's tempted by the devil, which we kind of have in one corner of our mind, but he's led by the Spirit. The Holy Spirit is leading him into this. And it tells us that Jesus was filled with the Spirit. So he was in a good place spiritually. He had just been baptized, and within his baptism, if you remember, he is reminded of his identity. God the Father says over Jesus, "This is my Son, with whom I am well pleased." This is my Son, with whom I am well pleased. So he was led by the Spirit. The Spirit sort of catapults Jesus into this very difficult place. There's no food, no shelter, no friends, no companions, no one to support him. And in that place, the devil comes and the devil tempts him. So God allows the devil to come to Jesus. It's not because God wants to harm Jesus, but rather because God wants Jesus to be strengthened. You know, doing that challenge, lifting that Bible out with your arm, you need strength to do that. And if you did it every day, you'd get stronger, you'd be able to do it for longer because your muscles would get stretched. And it would hurt. It wouldn't be a very pleasant thing. If anyone's done any weight training, it hurts when those muscles get stretched. But that's the only way to get them stronger. There's no shortcut to that. You have to do that work. And so Jesus is being strengthened. Now, this doesn't mean that whenever something bad or evil happens, that God is testing us. That doesn't follow from this incident. Sometimes bad things happen just because they happen. And we need to respond in that situation. We need to respond as best we can, with compassion for ourselves and for others. But this passage shows us that if we're going to be people who are filled with the Spirit and led by the Spirit, then we need to be prepared that the Spirit may lead us into challenging times and seasons. In fact, the Spirit probably will lead us into challenging times and seasons. And if you've been a Christian longer than a few weeks, you'll know that the Spirit does lead us into challenging times and seasons. So the role of the devil here in this story is a bit like that weight in the gym. Jesus' time in the wilderness, he's building his spiritual muscles to do all that he needs. Because what he needs is something to push against. That's what happens when we do that weight training, is resistance. Something to push against. Jesus needs to be built up. He needs to build up that resilience against the devil's schemes, and particularly the devil's lies, if he's going to be able to fulfill the ministry and mission that lies ahead. It's sort of like a training camp. But it's not fun. This isn't a place where Jesus wants to be, but this is a place where Jesus has to be. And the devil's main trick, when we look at what the devil says and the temptations that he leads him into, the devil's main trick is to get Jesus to question his identity and purpose. Our identity is our sense of self, of knowing who we are. And so I want to ask a question, and you can shout out any thoughts and responses you might have. Where do we get our identity from? So where do you think we get our sense of identity from? Where does it come from? Who we kind of think we are? Where do people get their sense of self from, would you say?
Family.
Family? Yeah, that's one area where we can get a sense of, this is who I am, I belong in this family. Yep, any other areas where we get a sense of self, a sense of identity, where we think? Culture. Yes, yeah, so the culture that we swim in, that we live in, that's around us, that gives us signifiers for, oh, this is who I am, because the culture's telling me I'm part of this culture and community. Kirsty. The media. Yeah, and I suppose that's part of culture, isn't it? We're picking up things all the time. From media. Anything else? David?
From God.
Yeah, we get our sense, we can get a sense of identity from God. Yeah. Work. Yeah.
Reading the Bible.
Yeah. Yeah. Someone said work. We get that sense because, so you might, if you have a certain job, you say, oh, I am this. You know, I am a bricklayer. I am a teacher. I am a nurse. You know, it gives us our sense of, this is who I am because that's my job. Yeah, Adam. Yeah, so our education, the things we fill our mind with, that gives us a sense of, oh, this is who I am, because it's built up knowledge over time, isn't it? And that can give us a sense of identity. Friends, yeah, from our friendships, they kind of might reflect back who we are. If our friend says to us, oh, you're really good at that, or you're someone I can talk to, then we get a sense of, oh, that's who I am, because it's kind of reflected and bounced back upon us. Yeah, anything else where we might get our sense of identity? Sexual identity, yeah. We get a sense of who we're attracted to, and that gives us a sense of who we are as well. So lots of different things, all these different things that kind of make up our identity. And they're really based around stories that we tell ourselves, aren't they? Things that happen in our lives, the things we're receiving, the messages we're receiving that give us that story. And we've said some of that comes from the Bible, from what we read about who God says we are. And going back to Jesus' baptism again, that key moment where God says, this is my son in whom I am well pleased. We need to always remember that that is before Jesus has done the miracles and the work, and before he's even been tempted or been through this testing time. Before all that, Jesus says, this is my son in whom I am well pleased. He's not waiting for Jesus to perform things. It's like me with Ted. I don't love him because he now knows his phonics, so I'm going to love him now, or he's learnt his two times table. I love him because he's my son. It's not based on him achieving anything or doing anything. It's based on who he is to me, on that relationship. And that's a deep, deep identity. Like we're talking about family and friends and those things that are really deep, that say, this is who I am, because the way we are loved, that's a big part of how we get our identity. And God wants to say to each of us, you are my child in whom I am well pleased. And we might think, oh, we can't be pleased with me because I'm rubbish at this, or I'm no good at that, or I'm not as good as that person. But no, there's no ifs or buts. You are God's child and he loves you. Not if you go to church or if you do this or if you do that. God just loves you. He just does. And that is the key to our identity. All those other things can be part of our identity, but at the heart of it, our identity is that we are loved by God. And we see that when Jesus goes into this 40 days of wilderness, and when we go into a time of tempting, when we go to a time of difficulty, when we go into a time when we're stretched, we need to keep coming back to that key core identity, that we are loved by God. All those other things can be on top. You can say, I am a teacher, I am this, I am that. But underneath it all needs to be that strength of saying, it's not based on my performance. If I wasn't able to do this, if I had disabilities, if I had whatever, God still loves me because I am a child of God That's my core identity, and that's really important for us to remember. In verse 3, the devil says to Jesus, "If you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread." The devil's really trying to get into that identity. So, if you are this, then do this. And the temptation here is for Jesus to perform some kind of miracle in order to boost himself up. And he needs to go through that temptation so that when it comes to the time when he's doing his miracles, he's not doing them to show off. He's not doing them to prove himself. He doesn't need to prove himself because he knows he's loved by God the Father. So he doesn't need to do it. So when Jesus does a miracle, he does it to help somebody. He does it to serve. He does it as a sign. Again and again, the gospel writers tell us that these miracles are signs. They're pointing to something. It's not about the miracle itself. It's about what it's pointing to. So Jesus never does a miracle to point to himself and say, I'm really good, aren't I? I'm better than those other rabbis. No, he does it to glorify God. It's always a bigger thing. And here is where he learns that. Because the devil says to him, "If you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread." That'd be an amazing miracle, wouldn't it? Do that. But Jesus doesn't do it, does he? Jesus' identity is challenged. The devil says, "Prove yourself." But Jesus doesn't need to prove himself. Because he knows who he is. And Jesus responds, as we notice in this passage, Jesus responds by quoting scripture. He says back to the devil, he quotes back the truth of scripture, which is a really good way to stand up to the lies of the enemy. However, we learn just a few verses later that quoting scripture in and of itself is not a sign of being on God's side. Because the devil quotes scripture. The devil quotes scripture, and we learn that just because someone knows the Bible does not necessarily mean they have good and godly intentions. Scripture can be abused as well as used. And you've probably seen that. You might have seen that on social media. You might have seen that in the general media. You see scripture, you see good things being used for bad purposes. Jesus would encourage us to look at the fruit of someone's life and character. In fact, even more than that, he would tell us not to judge and to look instead at ourselves, at our own fruit and our own character. Kindness and love. Rather than being impressed by how many Bible verses someone might be able to memorize, or how big their Bible is, or how many commentaries they've got, or whether they've got a degree in theology, or whatever it is, that can all be good. But also, if it's no good if at the heart of somebody, they're not living from that place of, "I am a child of God," and instead they're trying to prove themselves, or they've got a particular agenda for a particular ideology, and they're trying to push that agenda on you. Because essentially it all comes back to that love, doesn't it? That love that God has for us, and the love that he is calling us into and calling us to share with others and with ourselves, that love. So we need to look beyond that. How does Jesus come out of these 40 days in the wilderness and fasting? Well, it tells us in verse 14 and verse 15. I'm onto the song words. Anyway, this is what it says in verse 14 and 15. Jesus returned to Galilee, so this is after the time of temptation, in the power of the Spirit. And the news about him spread through the whole countryside. He was teaching in their synagogues, and everyone was praising him. So Jesus went in, filled with the Holy Spirit. He was tempted, his identity was questioned, he survived those tests, he was strengthened by that ordeal, and he comes out full of the Holy Spirit. And he comes out and his ministry begins. What follows are miracles and teaching, disciple-making, ultimately world-changing, leading, of course, to his death and resurrection. And that comes out from this place of difficulty and pain. That's where this glory and this wonder comes from. The 40 days in the wilderness was his preparation. So I wonder whether we can look at this season that we're now in, Lent, as we look towards Easter. We're not journeying through Lent thinking, I hope that I can be saved when it comes to Easter. We know we're saved. The resurrection's already happened. Lent isn't about living in this place where we're kind of thinking, is Jesus going to rise from the dead? Jesus has risen from the dead.
Lent isn't about questioning that, but Lent is about an invitation into a journey where we again come back to that core identity. And maybe for some of us, we really need that this year. We really need to remember who we are in Christ, that we are children of God, that we belong to Him. And we need to remember that out of pain and suffering can come wonderful things. Doesn't mean that pain and suffering is good. Doesn't necessarily mean we wanted it or invited it. Sometimes God puts us into a place of testing. Other times the devil does it. Other times life just happens. And we don't get to choose that, but we do get to choose how we respond. It's like that, I love that little saying, you can either become bitter or you can become better. You can choose. Now you might need some support and some encouragement to do that, because that's hard. When life hits us hard, when things hit us hard, we think, all I can do is be bitter. Well, I'd encourage you to reach out and be honest about that. Say to somebody that you trust, somebody you know, say to someone in your house group, say to me, I can't do better at the moment because I'm feeling so bitter. And as you start to talk about it, that bitterness starts to crumble, because it's like the devil with those lies. He piles those things on top of each other and they grow and we end up believing them. It's like we were saying earlier about where we get our identity from. If we're getting our identity from those negative places, it builds up and piles up. And we need to dismantle it. It needs to be deconstructed so that we can be reconstructed with our true identity. So may these 40 days, may this season of Lent be a time where each of us is able to refocus on who we are in Christ, on who we are as God's children, knowing that we are loved, that God looks upon us and He loves us. And from that place, we can then build our true identity. We can know who we are. We're not performing in order that God loves us. We are living out our lives because we know we're loved from a place of security and identity. And we need that as individuals, but we need it corporately as well as a church, don't we? We need to know that in order to be strengthened, in order to do that thing, you know, the vision of loving and growing. It can only come from that place of knowing that we are loved, that we are called to grow spiritually, numerically, in every way. That's what God's calling us to do. So may you be filled by the Spirit like Jesus was before the difficult times. And may you be filled with the Spirit as you come out of that difficult season into a new season. Because the Spirit is for both of those things we notice in this chapter, don't we? Jesus goes in filled with the Holy Spirit, and He comes out filled with the Holy Spirit too. May that be our story. And may we be able to turn away from those temptations and see through the devil's lies. May we be able to see through those lies that are told to us. Sometimes it's like little pinpricks or paper cuts, and we hardly notice them. You know, the media tells us something about who we are, and it's just a little paper cut. But those things can build up, and we can end up bleeding a lot. And we need that healing from Jesus that only Jesus can bring. And finally, may our identity in our Father God be sure and firm. Let's take a moment to pray into this, because this is big stuff. Sam, why don't you come back, as we're going to sing again in a moment. Boldly I approach your throne. Lord, as we journey through Lent again this year, I pray, Lord, that this year for us individually and corporately will be a time where we are strengthened by you. It will be a time that no matter what difficulties we're facing, globally, personally, as a community, as a church, no matter what those challenges are, we will have those core things that Jesus had, that we will be filled with the Holy Spirit. We will know that you are here and your Spirit is with us. That we will have that core identity, that we are loved by you. Lord, that we will be led not further into those temptations, but that we will be able to stand up to those lies and say, no, that is not true. That is not who I am. It may be that what you've been saying in your head or your heart is, I am, and then you can fill in the blank. Maybe it's, I am depressed. And maybe that needs to turn from, I am experiencing depression, because you don't want to spiritually bypass that. You need to be honest about that. But it's not, I am depressed. It's, I am suffering from depression. It's not, I am anxiety. It is, I am suffering from anxiety. And may we instead be able to say over ourselves, I am a child of God. And you can say that not when you've achieved a certain spiritual enlightenment or when you've completed enough Bible studies. You can say that right now. I am a child of God. With all my brokenness, with all my questions, with all my doubt, I am a child of God. May we know that. May our identity be secure. And Lord, may we hear you speaking over us through the songs that we sing, through being together at church, through being in our house groups, through reading our Bibles. May we hear you saying that to us. I love you. You are my child, whom I love. With you I am well pleased. And automatically something inside us says, no, you can't be pleased with me because I've done A, B, C, and D. Or I haven't done A, B, C, and D. But no, God says, you are my child exactly as you are, with all your faults, all your failings, all your shortcomings. I love you just as you are. With you I am well pleased. Lord, help us to hear that, and not just in our ears, but in our hearts. Lord, during this season, build us up. Fill us with your Holy Spirit. Now as we enter the season, and as we come out when Easter comes around, fill us again with your Holy Spirit, that we can go into our lives, into our workplaces, into our homes and our communities, with that power of Jesus inside of us. Come, Lord Jesus. Come, Holy Spirit. Amen.